to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Each and every show, we go inside the Beltway to really give you the inside scoop, I think, thanks to Talk Radio News. Ellen Ratner joins us this time around. And boy, it was a very, very busy day in D.C.
Oh,
Ellen,
my gosh, we just didn't even know what to cover next.
No kidding. And the big one, and of interest certainly to so many people listening to us across America right now, is immigration and the whole debate about immigration that I say constantly gets put back on the shelf. Well, now it was back off the shelf, at least today, the president with his immigration speech. What was the gist of it?
Well, the gist was basically, look, we have doubled the amount of border agents on the border from 2004, which is when George Bush was there. Now there's 20,000 people. We have had drug interdictions have gone up 31%, 75% in terms of currency violation interdictions, and 60% in weapons. And they said, look, are the Republicans just trying to move, or this is what the president said, are they trying to move the goalposts? They asked us to be much tougher on border. We have been. Maybe they need a moat. Maybe they want alligators inside the moat. I mean, he was taking no prisoners.
And there was a plenty of debate, of course, once he had the speech on the Hill, pros and cons. It's the same old thing, I think, from depending on what side.
That's right. And what's so amazing is that his position on immigration is pretty much exactly the same as George W. Bush.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
And,
absolutely.
You know, I remember Tony Snow, right before he died, the president's former press secretary, I said, Tony, you know, you've been through chemo and everything. What are you doing here? And Tony said to me, Ellen, I'm really here because I so believe in the president's immigration policy.
Well, I remember that, Tony Snow.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, good guy. Let's switch gears and talk about the debt limit and what's going on there when we talk about deficit reduction and all that. And we mentioned some dates on our last show that pushing back to July and August drop dead date from Tim Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury. What was the latest of the tug of war?
Well, the tug of war, there was, first of all, a meeting with the Vice President had at Blair House to deal with the budget. They had the Treasury Secretary, Jack Lew from Office of Management and the Budget, Eric Cantor, John Kyle from the Republicans, Max Baucus, and Chris Van Hollen from the Democrats. There were some other people there, but that's pretty much the same thing. But however, they are now saying, look, the Republicans, we have got to at least cut back, and this is what Boehner said yesterday, $2 trillion if we're going to sign this deficit plan. There are other people that are saying you can't be holding this debt hostage, and that's why Wall Street was not happy last night.
Mm. Yeah, they can't. They can't do it. I don't think they can personally. I'm sure you have an opinion on that, too. And I think we're just going to see it get closer and closer to the line. So there's going to be more conversation for the next 2 months.
Absolutely.
How about Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, going
ape? Well, he had a little hearing today, and he finally squeezed out of Apple and Google that they are going to take a look at these apps. Now, we have, Talk Radio News has an app on both the Droid and iPad and all that, that basically allows somebody to download. And in order to get that app, we had to apply for it, and they got back to us in 24, 48 hours and said the app was approved. Well, apparently there are several apps that allow somebody to dial up and find out where the local DUI stop is so that you can drink and drive and avoid it. And so Schumer wants those apps off. Apparently, Research in Motion, which makes the BlackBerry, have taken them off. Apple and Google have not, but they said that they would take a look at the issue and report back to Chuck Schumer within a month.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. See how fast. I guarantee it disappears overnight. Something that hasn't disappeared, but now is it looks like there's a big push to have it disappear, is the oil subsidies. What happened there?
Well, and some of the Democratic senators got together and said that they want to get rid of oil subsidies, that there was no reason for them, and that this idea that a lot of industries have subsidies and therefore the oil companies should have it was ridiculous. And so it's going to go absolutely nowhere. I don't think the oil subsidy issue is going to change because I think the Republicans will make sure it doesn't, particularly in the House.
All right, Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News. We'll talk to you again. Thanks.
You got it.
So a lot is going on reverberating from Washington, D.C. You heard us talking there about the debt ceiling, what's going to happen. Ultimately, we know it's going to be pressed up, but probably in the summer. Here we are in May, so we're talking about two more months probably of conversation related to what do we do with these woes of spending and how do we make up the deficit. We've been hearing this for now over a year, right? Immigration takes the cake, though, when it comes to talk, and very little action. Remember the whole thing about building the wall, and remember the Minutemen going down to try to protect some of the scarier areas of the border where there weren't enough Border Patrol agents. So now the president, and this is where we started at the top of that, is pushing to revive immigration reform. He's doing the U.S.-Mexico border thing to lay out some kind of a blueprint, that's what they're calling it anyway, for, here's that word again, comprehensive immigration reform. And as Ellen said, very similar, I mean completely similar to what Bush was pushing for and trying to jumpstart this debate on where are we headed and what's wrong with not having something in place. And here's the thing people forget. We do have immigration laws in place. We do. They just were never enforced. And then you trot out the ICE guys. They bust up a couple of businesses, take some photos. It gets huge, splashy news headlines. And then it goes away again. The conversation goes away again. So how long this time does the conversation stick around? And there are parts of this comprehensive reform that I think a lot of you aren't going to like. And we know where the sticky areas lie in cutting in the line. Meaning, if someone's already here, that path to so-called amnesty, if you want. And my question still becomes the same thing. Where's the 10 grand coming from? Who living under the wire is standing in line to pay that 10 grand? Yes, somebody here who has the money, who's made money, whose family brought them over and they were a young child, baby, whatever, they want that path. I get it. I mean, not everybody wants the path, but I think if at least some of them, if they're here in the United States, but can they afford the money they're talking about that you'd have to pay up? And who's coming out of the shadows? Who's raising their hand to say, oh, yeah, I'm here illegally. Let me start writing you checks that I don't have because I'm sending money back to my family who has nothing in Mexico. So there's going to be lots of problems, and there's a lot of holes in this so-called comprehensive immigration reform. Really, honestly. Bigger markers this time around. If something's going to happen, that means bigger markers. And where the president gave his speech, interesting, El Paso, Texas. Remember Juarez, the deadly cartels, all the shootings, all that stuff, the assassinations, the kidnappings, just over the bridge from El Paso. So it was pretty smart to put him there, actually. But it's not just about border security. It's a whole lot more. Stay with us. We're going to continue that conversation on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Buzz. Kate Delaney hanging with all of you, talking about immigration. What else? I think when I first started the show, this was probably the hottest potato that we passed around all over the place. We had tons of politicians on. We looked at it from all angles. I went out with the Border Patrol. I've talked about it way too many times, but you know the deal. Went out in El Paso, saw what happened, looked at the cat and mouse thing, literally from sun up to sun down. And what has changed? How many more people aren't coming across the border? But, you know, the numbers aren't accurate. We don't even have an accurate count of here who's in the country. The scariest thing to me, if I spin it off for a quick second, is still the student visas. That needs to stop. With the student visas, there has to be... Kate Delaney came into the country from wherever, Belgium, and she's going to, I'll pick a school, UT, and she's done after this amount of time. So they know what's going on. Instead, every time we have some kind of an incident that bubbles up, kind of I'll call it a sleeper cell or lone wolf wannabe terrorist person, how many times are they here on a student visa? That's ridiculous. I mean, that whole issue just needs to be tossed. And I know that there was legislation on the Hill, but how effective is it being enforced? All that kind of stuff. There's still questions surrounding it. So when you look at the border, what's the one thing? Let's say we're in a room and we make the decision. and we have to make a decision. We're being paid to make a decision. So which direction are we going in? No holds barred. You have a conversation. What has to happen? And we come back to the same thing. It's the security. The security, 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 security. We still have people that are tunneling in, getting into the United States. There's still a serious lack of security. Might be a little bit better in some places, but there's still some gaping holes. I mean, gaping holes. And what about these sanctuary cities? Fair or foul on the sanctuary cities? You have to ask yourself that. You know, what are we doing about immigration? So the president, in his speech in El Paso, talked about a couple of things. One, the meat and potatoes of what he's pushing, this so-called comprehensive immigration, it has to do with the money side, that economically we have to get this done, and also it would help the middle class. So here's a little slither of that.
One way to strengthen the middle class in America is to reform the immigration system so that there's no longer a massive underground economy that exploits a cheap source of labor while depressing wages for everybody else. I want incomes for middle class families to rise again. Immigration reform is an economic imperative. It's an economic imperative. And reform will also help to make America more competitive in the global economy.
All right, we still have those issues. They're broad strokes. Yes, economic imperative, we know, because so many cities are sinking under the weight of illegal immigration. Talk to half of the people who live in California. So he's reviving the idea of needing some reform. And he, you know, he's pretty passionate about what he was saying, but he hasn't done anything about immigration. He hasn't made any kind of headway, if you will, on the immigration front. He did take a chance to slap the Republicans on that party's position overall on immigration.
Now they're going to say we need to quadruple the Border Patrol, or they'll want a higher fence. Maybe they'll need a moat. Maybe they want alligators in the moat. They'll never be satisfied.
All right, alligators in the moat. Republicans say, look, you're still not focusing on border security, so how can you have an overhaul if you have no security at the border? What the president said is we've got more Border Patrol agents. We are completing a border fence. We're screening more cargo. So there are some things that are happening here. We're going steps beyond that. And this is an arm wrestling deal here. He's not going to win this. It depends on your point of view and how you look at how the immigration wheel has turned. Conveniently, not just through the Obama administration, but go back. Anytime somebody was running where it just became too hot based on the constituency who's electing you, baby, it was put away. It was put away. Unless it played out correctly. In other words, if it plays to your base, it's fair to do that. So what is interesting, I will say this for the president. The El Paso, making the speech in El Paso was brilliant in one way because of Juarez and all the danger there just over the Zaragoza Bridge. At one of the worst places at the border, and here it's a very busy, it used to be a very busy, trafficy area. And by doing that, though, too, he was also in a state where he lost, clearly, Texas in 2008. And most likely doesn't have much of a chance to pick it up in 2012. And you know how you can tell that? That whole thing about don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with Texas. The sanctuary cities in the Lone Star State. Check this out. Because everybody is screaming along some of those ranch areas in, like, Brownsville, Texas, where, remember, people have been robbed and other things have happened. And, of course, we talk about Arizona and Texas and the rancher that was killed. So the Texas House on Monday night pushed forward a bill for the sanctuary cities where police will be able to question anybody who is detained about their immigration status, even if the bosses don't like it. And we all know what Sanctuary City is, right? Sanctuary City is a place where people turn their heads, business owners, cops, whatever. They don't enforce federal immigration laws and the whole deal of undocumented workers. They just, they're there in jobs or housing or whatever. There's no fear of deportation. It's not like in the movies when you see right away someone panics. No deportation. They don't want, they're afraid of that. You know how that's really played up? Well, in sanctuary cities, of course, that's not even a worry. That's why certain people will gravitate toward there because they know they're okay. This bill passed with flying colors, rather. This is through the House, 100-47. 100-47. They didn't even debate it, really. They didn't even debate it. They just approved it. And the vote is interesting timing because this was right when Obama was making his first trip as president to the U.S.-Mexico border where he's pushing for the comprehensive immigration law. It depends on where you live, how this plays out. I think it's really a state's issue now because the feds have done so little about it. That's exactly what happened in Arizona with the governor, with Governor Jan Brewer. And this is what's happening with others like Rick Perry. In Texas, 1.6 million illegals live in Texas. Those are numbers from the Pew Hispanic Center. And while the numbers have declined a little bit, they've seen a little bit of a drop because of the economy, still the illegal population in Texas and Oklahoma and Louisiana shot up statistically by over a quarter of a million just last month. Maybe that's a sign that the economy's getting better. People are coming back if I can get over the border. I mean, it's a very sad thing. When you look deeper and you scrape away some of the nonsense and also, you know, you hear about the plight of the immigrant who pays the money to the coyote who then takes advantage of them across the desert and they either make it, they don't make it, they end up just a body somewhere near the border. And there certainly is sad stories connected to this situation. It should have never gotten to this point in the first place. But we can't freeze time. We cannot go back in time. So we have to move forward. Something has to happen here. And I have a feeling that nothing has changed. There is a massive divide in this country over illegal immigration. Massive divide. Speaking of splitting up, Maria Shriver, Arnold Schwarzenegger, big buzz, not just in Hollywood, but around the country. Coming up around the bend, our conversation with our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohat, next.
Extend your life with Extend-O-Vite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure is finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Over the last year, Alex has told you about, and many of you have experienced, emergencies and disasters in unprecedented numbers. People have had to literally run for their lives. Folks, this is Steve Shank with eFoods Direct. I'm not here to scare you, but when disaster strikes, you won't have time to think. You must act automatically. What does a pilot do when the helicopter engine fails in flight? No time to think, just act automatically. When the alert is broadcast, the alarm sounds, or the knock comes on your door, you'll need to be ready to act without thinking of what to do or what you need. You need a 5-day extreme emergency kit. With serious supplies and real food to secure 2 adults for 5 days, this powerful $300 extreme emergency kit is free with an order of at least $995 from eFoods Direct. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. That's eFoods. FoodsDirect.com/Alex, 800-409-5633.
If you own a septic system, or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems, and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Stops costly pump outs and repairs and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
California, a lot of the conversation in California has to do with a big divorce. Maria Shriver and the former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who better to ask than Stephen Shohat? Like I said, the king of the scoop, the author of Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, how you doing?
What's it like in L.A.? What are people saying about this divorce? Because it's all over the place.
Well, first of all, he wasn't wearing his wedding ring for a while, and she wasn't either. So I think people are thinking maybe that they stayed together just throughout his political run, and now, of course, unless they change the Constitution, there's nowhere else for him to go. He doesn't want to be a senator. He doesn't want to be one of 100. I mean, you know, he's a it's good to be the king type of guy,
yeah.
And so. You know, some people are thinking that he's of no further use to her. Now there might be other details, and I'm sure, you know, when there's a divorce, other things will come out. But I think a lot of people are thinking it's just a political, they stayed together for the political reasons.
Yeah, that's what I thought initially, too. They've been together, Stephen, a quarter of a century.
Right, and they have 4 kids, and you know, it's, I mean, it's too bad. I mean, I'm not a fan of his. He left our state worse off, I think, put us further in debt, raised taxes after he implied that he wouldn't. A lot of people think that he was politically changed because of her. You know, you always had the Schwartz and Kennedy lines, things like that, and he definitely was a more conservative guy before, but people change, so he's got his own mind, so for whatever reason, whether it was his circle or of friends or her, he certainly was not a conservative at the end. Now, there was an issue where he supported McCain and she supported Obama, but whether that was enough to drive them apart, I don't know. I mean, when you get right down to it, Arnold was pretty much constantly lurching to the left, so I don't think politics would drive them apart. But again, you know, who am I to say? It's just speculation.
Right. Yeah, I think we're going to hear much more about that. Citizen Kane, speaking of politics, I didn't realize this until I got a note from you. 70th anniversary of Citizen Kane?
Yeah, and probably the movie that influenced more people to become directors than any other movie, made in 1941. It was Herman Mankiewicz was a very famous writer in Hollywood, a very big drinker, and he used to go to William Randolph Hearst's San Simeon Castle. And, this story probably wasn't true, but there was a story that went around for years that if you were a drunk, Hearst really resented it because he wanted to keep his mistress Marion Davies from drinking, and a lot of the guests would sneak in alcohol for her since it wasn't really permitted on the premises, at least in big portions. So anyway, there was a legend that went around, and I don't know if anybody's ever seen it. I think it is just a legend that if you got really drunk and hungover, Hearst would toss you in a room where the furniture was nailed to the ceiling. Yeah, so you'd wake up and see that. Now, whether that's true or not is hard to say, but it's definitely true that Mankiewicz was kicked out of Hearst Castle for drunken behavior, and he wanted revenge. And he happened to meet Orson Welles, and Orson Welles had hired him to rewrite some radio projects. He was a famous script doctor who was constantly insulting moguls in Hollywood like Harry Cohn and Louis B. Mayer, couldn't find any work, so Welles had hired him. And then after a series of discussions, they decided to go after William Randolph Hearst and make this movie Citizen Kane. And William Randolph Hearst didn't like it one bit. When the movie came out, he really resented the Susan Alexander character, the Marion Davies character, presented as a failed opera star and total drunk. It hit a little bit too close to home, even though in real life Marion Davies stayed loyal to William Randolph Hearst even during times when he had tremendous financial problems and wouldn't marry her. But the movie received, Citizen Kane received no coverage in the Hearst papers. It was going to show it at Radio City Music Hall, and then Nelson Rockefeller got word from Hearst people, you show this movie here and we'll talk about your private life. So the movie was canceled. The screening of the movie was canceled. So it got very little publicity, and it lost money at the box office. And at the Academy Awards, every time it was announced that Citizen Kane was up for an award, the entire audience would boo, even though Herman... Yeah. But by the way, can I tell you a great story about it, though? It's years later... Orson Welles, 75 years old, has struggled ever since Citizen Kane. So it's the last year of his life. He's at a restaurant in Beverly Hills. A young man comes up to him admiringly, and he says, "Mr. Welles, can I ask you something about Citizen Kane?" And by now, Orson is sick of these questions, but he decides to be gracious. So the young man says, "Well, Mr. Welles, at the beginning of the movie, when Charles Foster Kane says Rosebud, he's alone in the room, and then the nurse comes in after he's dead. So how do all the people know that Rosebud was his last word?" And Orson Welles looked, to the left, and he looked to the right, and he pulled the young man very close to him, and he whispered, "Promise me you'll never repeat what you just said to another living soul."
That was you?
No, no, it wasn't me. No.
I was going to say you must have been a kid.
No, no,
you must have been like eight.
No, no, it was a story I got from Charlton Heston. I put it in my book, yeah.
That's a great story.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So, and how many times have you seen it? A couple?
Twice. You know, it's not my favorite movie. I respect it quite a bit. I mean, it was a little long for me, actually. But he did things in the movie. I mean, Mankiewicz thought he deserved more credit than he got, but Orson Welles did things in the movie like that had never been done before, like having the narrative coming from many different characters and you know, painting this unique picture. And Orson Welles, you have to say he was just full of energy when he made the movie. I mean, he had been living the high life in Hollywood, not making any movie and getting paid quite a bit. And he had gained a lot of weight, and he went, he got rid of all his servants and went on an exercise program and was working 18-hour days. And there were all sorts of mishaps on the set. He kept burning the rosebud sleds until he got the shot that he wanted. And at one point, there was so much smoke coming out of RKO Studios, the fire department came over to see what was going on. And then they heard that it was Orson Welles, and they said, oh, it figures. And the reason they said that was because 3 years earlier, Orson Welles had broadcast War of the Worlds in 1938, and people had really thought the Martians were attacking. So the fire department figured it's just another Wellesian hoax. I mean, he was very good at getting attention and getting press. By the way, a lot of people claim that movie wasn't all totally about William Randolph Hearst, even though there are very obvious parallels. They said a lot of it was Herman Mankiewicz's impression of Orson Welles. Like for example, there's a scene where Hearst throws all the furniture around and starts breaking things. Well, that was based on something that Mankiewicz saw Welles do in real life during a fit of temper. So it wasn't completely about
Hearst. Yeah. Wow, excellent stuff. Stephen Shohat, author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Pick it up. Stephen, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kate.
And we'll talk to him again next week. Hey, coming up around the bend, we're going to introduce you to a man who has such a big heart, Tom Eggum. I wanted to hear a little clip of him talking about his organization getting water to children all over the world, building them wells and whatnot. Take a listen. If you had to guesstimate, how many kids do you think you've helped through this?
Well, my vice president has all the statistics, and they can see that on the website, but hundreds of thousands every year. When we drill one of these wells, a lot of times it serves 3,000 to up to as many as 30,000 people that do not have access to clean water in that area. So we know that, the numbers just keep multiplying. If you think of 100 wells and what that means, but right now we're working on a project to bring water this year to 1 million people in Africa, and that's not a lofty one. I'm turning 60, as I mentioned, so my goal is, last year we did 40 wells, this year I want to do 60 wells, and it looks like we're on target to be able to do that. And so people get involved, kids. I had a 13-year-old boy come up to me after I'd spoken at a church, and he came up and he said, I want to drill a well. And his parents said, like, where are you going to get the money? And he said, I'm going to ask my friends at school. And sure enough, that 13-year-old boy went to his school, and there were two other schools involved, and he ended up raising not just enough for a well, but for a medical clinic and a classroom in one of our schools that we built. So, families do it, churches do it, different mm-hmm. groups. And we match you up with the village. And the cool part about what we do is you can actually travel with us on our short-term teams and visit that village, and we will have a dedication of your well in that village. And that is one
terrific.
Of the most incredible things. The people are so grateful, and you'll never be the same. I mean, it really is something. So we make sure people are matched up with the village we're all skeptical. We go, how do we know you drilled a well in my name or whatever? We can take you there and show you. And so it's not just a life changer for us, they're giving, but when you meet the people and I'm a little choked up here, but
Tom Eggum next.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning. Eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion. Fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The daily salute this time around on America Tonight should go to this man who I was introduced to through an email earlier in the day and was so excited I couldn't wait to get him on the show. His name is Tom Eggum. He's got a terrific organization, one that I all want you to go and Google so you can check it out. It's called Hope for Kids International. And what does the organization do? All kinds of things when it comes to helping people, like drilling over 100 wells in villages throughout East Africa and Central India, sponsoring 2,500 AIDS orphans all over the place, all over the world, feeding, educational, economic, spiritual programs, all kinds of things that are so vital to the human to a human being and to the human spirit. And here's the interesting thing. Tom, and we're going to let him tell his story. He's in our virtual green room, was arrested. If we go way back in our time machine, he was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon years and years ago. He was arrested by the KGB for smuggling Bibles into the Soviet Union. Oh, that's an interesting story, I'm sure. Yes. And he made 8 successful trips delivering Bibles and medicine into the Soviet Union so he would not be stopped. He was arrested in 1981, but that wasn't the only time that he bumped his head against it, certainly in communist places like China and also in Vietnam, too, as well. Tom, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. Glad to.
Okay, before we get into all the cool things that your group does, I can't leave it there because I know that there's people driving down the road. There's a couple truckers out there that are saying, what is she talking about? He was arrested.
Right.
What prompted that? What happened? You decided, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to deliver Bibles and I'll get through. What happened?
Well, I think the first arrest when I was a teenager tells a little bit about my personality. And then when I started learning about smuggling Bibles into the Soviet Union through a book called God Smuggler, I thought, this is for me, doing something illegal for God. So that's the personality I have, and so I've always loved to live it on the edge. And when I heard of the need in the Soviet Union, I decided to smuggle Bibles. And, yes, I was arrested by the KGB and for a good cause, though.
Yep, for a good cause, absolutely. And it started there, and then you fast forward, and I mentioned a couple of other places. I know one thing that happened, because people are really interested in what's happening in Cuba, and
yeah.
You were deported from Cuba. That had to be kind of scary. Was it scary when things like that happened?
Oh, it was just another adventure for me. But we did have a license to go into Cuba. We went in a number of times. We loved Cuba. If you remember back when Elion, the little boy, was the whole controversy was going on in Florida, we were actually there during that time. And all of the Cubans were just so open to us, and we absolutely loved it. But we received a welcome in a church that we had helped build. It was the first new church building built in Havana since 1946. And the welcome was so above what I was comfortable with, that I knew we would, cause attention from their government. And sure enough, the next day we were told, to leave the country. We were really sad about that, but, we're working out the details now. It appears we're going to be able to go back.
Oh, good for you. So it looks like you could make that trip in the next year or so.
Well, we hope so. We have it on our calendar, to be able to with, there's, more, some legislation recently opened up Cuba a little bit.
Sure.
It's a little easier for us to go in now. So,
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that was one of those experiences that we'll never forget.
No kidding. So we mentioned some of the things that you've done, and I should say you're the president, of course, of Hope for Kids International. You've done this for, now we know, starting really back to your teen years, but 38 years, 98 countries, working with poverty-stricken people. And what the first time you did it, is that when your eyes really were open to see what's out there?
I always tell people I don't feel my motives the first time were very pure. It was more for the adventure and the possibility of danger and that sort of thing. But once I met the people and saw their need, it really changed my heart. And I committed my life to do this. I'll be turning 60 this August, and I just had an incredible life filled with adventure in seeing lives transformed, and it just on and on. It's just been an incredible time. And I would say now, in all those years, is probably the most exciting time in my life, that I feel like we're finally really, truly making a difference in countless people's lives.
And one of the things you're doing, a big thing you're doing, is really focusing on water, safe water, to the people who need it. In fact, there's even another organization, Water for Kids International. There's a division there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, our Water for Kids International is a division of Hope for Kids International. It's set up as a secular, we're a faith-based organization, but this side is set up as a secular part of our company, so publicly held companies can donate to us, and that's why we did that. We realized, started in East Africa, when I heard that 52% of the children were dying before the age of five, and the number one killer was because of was dysentery, and 84% of their diseases are waterborne. And I knew that we could stop that by providing clean water. And I always say we're in kind of a triage mode. You know, we've got 2 million kids in Uganda alone that have lost their parents to HIV/AIDS. They've got a lot of diseases. There's the number one killer is measles. We're putting mosquito nets out there to help in that way. We've built a hospital. We've opened 12 regional clinics in Uganda just to be able to have a place where they can go. But we realize that water is the key. If we can drill a well, which we drill these wells 150 to 300 feet deep in very rural areas where mostly the girls are walking miles to get that water, and many of them can't go to school because of it. Many of them are abused on the way. I mean, it's just a terrible thing. So we targeted, first of all, places we have sponsored kids. We wanted to make sure they had a source of water. And so that's where we've started, to drill those wells. And as you mentioned earlier, we've just celebrated our 100th well in the last 3 years. And we truly believe this provides, the first line of defense of this terrible thing that's happening in Africa and India.
Yeah. We're speaking with Tom Eggerman. We're talking about water for kids. And, Tom, so in talking about water and this crazy statistic, you said 52%. How once they get that well, once everything's going, how does that fresh water transform these communities that you've gone into?
Well, what it is, most of these communities do not have a source of electricity. So it's a hand pump. It's a borehole. And immediately we see diseases start dropping off, cholera, typhoid. Many of the diseases, these kids are so sick in these areas. Immediately they start feeling strong. The number one killer is malaria. And the reason it is so many of the kids, when they get the fever and the sweats and all that, they're so dehydrated to start with, they really don't have a chance to survive. So we train them how to, make sure they're bringing in the water, they're taking in the water. We drill a lot of these wells right by schools. There could be hundreds of kids in those schools. And so we teach them about drinking water. So right away, they're stronger. And then we teach them hygiene, about all the things, how they have to wash their hands and what's causing the diseases. So it's a lot of levels that we try to teach when we bring that water.
Wow, it's terrific what you do. If people wanted to get involved in this, how can they do that? I'm sure they could probably make a donation, right?
Oh, of course. And they can look at our website, which when we say Hope 4, that's the number 4, hopeforkidsinternational.org, and Water 4, with the number 4, kidsinternational.org. And they can go there and they can see how we match people up, or churches, Kiwanis, Rotary Clubs, different groups like that. They match up with us. We actually assign them a village. If they're going to raise the amount of money that it cost us to drill a well is $10,150. And that well will be there for 30 to 50 years. I think it's one of the greatest investments. My family and I have invested this year personally, and we're taking our little kids, 7 and 10. So they're going to dedicate the well in the village where we drilled ours, and they're going to put their handprints in the cement. I know it's really going to...
Yeah, no kidding. And they'll have that. They'll be able to take that with them, carry that around for the rest of their life. And we want to tell everyone listening, go to www.w4ki.org, and you can see all the things that we've just been talking about. Again, Tom, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. I think it's just wonderful what you're doing to help people.
Well, thank you so much. My honor.